Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Shop all things Cherry Johnson at TheRealCherry.com.
Cherry's World is brought to you by Less is More Events. Get live.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cherry's World. Today, we've got a model actor in the house. His name is Alfonso Settles. He first caught my attention on a TV show called My Stepkids, alongside of Clifton Powell and Rodney Perry. But he got a new show, and it's called Deceitful Passions. I want to hear all about it. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Alfonso Settles.
This is Cherry's World.
Hey, if you're listening to Cherry's World Podcast on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, please give us a 5-star. Let us know what you think. Leave us a review. I want to hear from you. Thank you.
Would you like to advertise on Cherry's World and have your product placed on Cherry's social media for the world to see? Email us now at cherriesworldpodcast@gmail.com for low introductory rates. Cherry's World Podcast. Get heard.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Courtney, this is Alfonso. Alfonso, this is Courtney.
What's going on, man?
Hey, what up?
I can't complain. You got it.
You look familiar. Look like one of my buddies from Chicago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm in Detroit.
Uh-oh. What up, though?
Right. That's what we say. What up, though?
Now, Mr. Man is actually with us today, and he's in the car because he tried to leave set early to make sure that he got here on time.
Yes.
Nice.
Been working. I've been blessed, so... You know, it's been a blessing, man. So I'm just trying to capitalize on any and every opportunity that I can get that's going to lead me in the right direction.
Absolutely. What you working on today?
Well, we was filming, actually, what happened, the project that I was going to do, they ended up, it's a long story, but you know how I go in the indie film world. So I don't want to get into too much, but that's probably not going to happen.
Oh, okay, well, moving right along. So, Courtney, he was on this show called My Stepkids with Clifton Powell and Rodney Perry. And that's where he really caught my attention. Can you tell us a little bit more about that crazy ass show?
Well, it was supposed to go to My TV 20, and some things went on the back end that ended up not happening. But I did get the chance to share the set with Cliff and Rodney, and we had a lot of fun. We shot that. You know, we were all over different parts of Michigan. You know, I shared the set with them about two or three different days, and you know, we had fun. But more than anything, you know, we worked. But I got a chance to sit next to some guys that's been doing this forever and just pick their brain, just see how they move and how they operate. And, you know, I wasn't starstruck, but I was just really paying attention to what they were doing and how they were moving and just trying to incorporate some of the things that they were doing into my own and then make it my own, you know. But I was really blessed to be able to share the set with those guys. We had a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Now, how long have you been pursuing the whole acting career?
I mean, it's really something that I always wanted to do. Growing up, I just played basketball. I was into sports, and then, you know, you get to a point where it's like, okay, obviously I'm not going to the NBA, so you got to do something different, man. So I want to say for about maybe a year and a half, 2 years, I was kind of like stuck, like not really knowing what to do next because all I knew was sports. So I got off into the acting thing about 2015, going into 2016, and it started with the modeling. You know, I was doing a lot of different shows and doing things of that nature. And, you know, this company that I was working for, they had sent me some information about being an extra in this movie called Ovid and the Art of Love, which literally just went to Amazon Prime about maybe a month ago almost. But we shot it like 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, I sent them all my stuff, had to send them my headshots and, you know, my resume, which at that time, nothing was on my resume. So they went and they looked at my pictures, my headshots, and they came back at me and said, instead of you being an extra, we would like for you to be a feature extra. So you won't have any lines, but you'll share the screen with John Savage. And, you know, he been acting since, you know, before I was born just about. And, you know, I shared the set with him. And, man, we sat on set for 4 or 5 hours just, you know, waiting to get our scenes. And I just was able to just pick his brain and learn a lot from him. So I was my first time doing anything in front of a camera. So I just was in awe, and I got bit by the bug, and I just been doing it ever since.
Nice. Hey, so Cherry brought it up that you worked with Rodney Perry. I interviewed Rodney Perry a few years ago, and I was actually working some show with him as well. He's caught the COVID. I don't know if you guys heard that he got COVID-19.
I did hear that. Yeah, my prayers go out to him, man. This COVID-19 is you gotta be careful out here, man. I think the way that we're used to living and what used to be the norm is that's going away. I mean, now everybody gotta be masked up, you gotta practice social distancing. So my prayers go out to him. I did hear that he had COVID, so I just hope he bounced back and you know, keep making us laugh.
Right.
Speaking of COVID, like, you're out working right now. Are you comfortable? Yeah. I mean,
well, yeah, because if I wasn't comfortable, I wouldn't do it. The sets that I've been a part, you know, they've been very, very mindful about how we move. You know, we even practice social distancing on set when we can. You know, we got one person that handles the food and the snacks and catering, so everybody's not, you know, dipping their hands in the same thing. And, you know, they check our temperatures before we even walk in. You know, we hand sanitizer, you know, everywhere you turn, it's a bottle of sanitizer. So, you know, we being as proactive as we can be and still try to work and do what we love to do. So it's a little difficult, but, you know, we understand. So everybody's been pretty on point with what we need to do to try to keep everybody safe.
You know, I just thinking like about you know, how COVID is messing things up. Like, what if they asked you to do, like, not necessarily like a love scene, but like a kissing scene, you know? Like, would you be thinking twice, like, well, damn, you know? I remember Janet Jackson said that about Pac for Poetic Justice.
Yeah, I remember that. She made him take a test or something. Like, yeah, I remember. That was crazy.
So now that's kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, now it's not so crazy. I mean, would I be comfortable with it? I probably would, only because, you know, before we even go on set, you know, we have to get COVID tested. And we have to show our results and make sure everybody is what they need to be. So it would be in the back of my mind.
Huh? Were you actually taking the test? Do they actually make you take the test?
Yeah, you have to go to a facility, you know, wherever you can find near you and get tested.
Oh, okay.
You know, come with your results to make sure that you're good to go so you can work. So that right there kind of personally helps me to be able to move along. Like, okay, everybody here got tested, so we good to go, so let's work.
Okay.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Test is a must. Well, that test is rough from what you took the one they stick it in your nose, right?
Yeah, they stick it in your nose, but they got different ones now because I think when the COVID first hit us, they had the one that went like all the way up here.
Yeah.
Now they just got the swab where they just get the, you know, the tip of your nose and kind of go from there. So it's not so bad. It's just like, you know, getting swabbed out. But those first tests were like, the needles was like that long, them swab tips. So
like taking an STD, like taking an STD test. Not that I would know.
Well, hopefully you do now.
Well, I mean.
But yeah, like, I ain't gonna lie. You just made me feel a little bit more confident because I was scared of that thing going all the way up in my nose too.
Yeah, I mean, I was too. And initially, that's what I was thinking. But when I got there, it was just like a little tip. So I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, that changes the game completely.
Mm-hmm.
So deceitful passion, deceit passion. What? Correct me because I know I'm saying it wrong.
Deceitful passions.
Oh, deceitful passions. Tell us about
it. Oh, man, where can I start? It's a messy movie. It got a lot of different twists and turns that'll keep you on the edge of your seat. It's one of those movies that when you think you know what's about to happen, something else happens. It's very unpredictable. We had a lot of fun doing it. I recommend if you haven't seen it and you want to watch it with it. No kids. No kids.
That's good.
Definitely. Right. You definitely want to watch that with your significant other or some other adults. But, I mean, it's doing great. It's been viewed over 12 million minutes on Tubi, doing really good on Amazon Prime. So, you know, I'm just proud of it. It was a project that I really, really wanted to do. And that was my first lead role that a lot of people could see, you know, on a huge platform like Tubi and Amazon Prime. So I was just blessed to be able to be a part of the cast and you know, bring something to the screen that people haven't saw before from me.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What was it like, you know, shooting there? You said it's like something that you don't want to have around the kids. So what was it like, you know?
Well, you know, okay, I'll just get right to it. There's a sex scene.
Yes.
And it was my first sex scene. And, you know, I was a little bit nervous because initially it wasn't written into the script. There were no sex scenes in the movie. And we were sitting on set one day and we were actually getting ready to film the scene where it was her and I just supposed to have been talking in the bedroom. And we were kind of supposed to have not really a full-fledged argument, just kind of some back and forth. And then it was just supposed to fade out and go to the next scene. And we were getting ready to shoot that. And the director, we were sitting there like, you know what? This movie's kind of dry. I think this next scene should be a sex scene. And I was like, wait a minute. What do you mean? And then they started talking about how they wanted to do it as if I wasn't sitting right there. I'm like, hello, like I am sitting right here. Like, wait a minute. Like, so we ended up not shooting it that night. And then, you know, they gave us a couple of weeks to kind of get mentally prepared for it. And we went ahead and shot it a couple of weeks later. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. You know, her and my co-star, we both was like, oh, it wasn't so bad. And then we looked at the playback. We was like, ah, okay. It was sensual, you know, it wasn't like Power, nothing like that.
They gave you a couple of weeks?
They did, because once they decided to add it, they had to figure out how they were going to shoot it. And initially, they didn't know how they were going to shoot it because it wasn't in the script.
So
they had to go back.
I haven't been in that position, okay? And I haven't been in a position where it wasn't a sex scene in the script. But I had a director take me to the side and be like, okay, we know you got this no nudity clause, right? But how would you feel if you take your pants off right now? And we just, you know, we need a little spice and we just film you walking up the hallway, maybe in like some panties or a long t-shirt and you go get in the bed. Yeah, that's what we gonna do. Are you okay with that? And then all of a sudden, they're off searching for panties. You know what I mean? Let's find these damn panties. Do these panties fit you? Should we do boy shorts? I'm like, I'm not doing the thong. You know what I'm saying? Give me the boy shorts. I'll do that. And then they just right there. So they gave you a couple weeks to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they gave up. Well, not so much to think about it, because once they decided or said that we were going to do it, it was a done deal. It's just for them, how are they going to do it? How are they going to shoot it? And within those couple of weeks, I'm like, yo, so y'all figured out how we going? They like, no, not yet. So it really wasn't the day of till we got the set that they decided how to set the room. And because there was a lot of mirrors around, so they had to set the room, which took them about an hour and some change to just even set the environment for us. And then, you know, once we got ready to shoot it, you know, they pulled us off to the side. It was a closed set. So it was only people there that needed to be there to make it happen. And we did it. And you know, a lot of people look at it and they say, oh, were you guys doing it for real? Or did you, or was this? And I'm like, no, it's not what you think. Like,
I don't act. So how do you act a sex scene?
Well, I mean, you just play out the motions of what you're doing. But for me, you know, I'm just concentrating on what we need to do to get the scene. You know, I'm not excited. My mind is not wandering, you know, because you're in the mix of it, but you got a camera right here. And then you got the directors telling you what to do and how to move and, okay, cut. You know, we got to do this. We got to do that. So there's a lot of cutting in between. I might have to change the battery or maybe something showing in the background that shouldn't be showing. So it's just not like when you see it and you look at it for those, you know, 45 or 30 seconds or however long it is. It's not like that continuously. It's just once they edit it and run it all together, it turns out to be that way.
So how long does it take to shoot a 45-second sex scene?
Oh, that scene for me, that was about almost 2 years ago. I think it took us about an hour, maybe 45 minutes to an hour. It wasn't long.
I was in bed with Clifton Powell for a good hour and a half once.
Yeah, it was about that. It wasn't long at all. So no. You know, it was a lot of cutting and
but
know,
you had weeks. I got a, hey, Cherry, this is Shy. You and Shay getting in bed. Or, hey, Cherry, this is Marcus. Y'all go ahead and get under them sheets. Hey, Cherry, this is Clifton Powell. Like, weeks. I don't know. I've never had that. Yeah. Just to let you know, Courtney, even if it is in the script, Antoine Tanner is the perfect one. He's like my brother. We had our sex scene, right? Mm-hmm. It was... take your clothes off. Then you got makeup and hair coming to fix you while you land on the pillow and laying your hair a certain way.
Yeah.
There's nothing sexy about it.
Not at all. That's why I say with the movie magic, once they put it all together, it looked great, you know, and it's like, wow, okay, but going through it, it was like, okay, cut, all right, move, okay, we gotta do this, you gotta do that, and every time, you got a camera right in your face, so it's like you say, it's not sexy, and the public is like, not what you think.
No.
But it's cool.
It's like, turn your head to the left.
Right.
You kiss her right. Can you this way?
Yeah. All of that.
Okay. So let's change the subject off of some sex.
Yeah.
Actor, right? You're a big man for Hollywood.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Do you find
a downfall?
Obstacle? No, it's not a downfall. It's a great thing. But do you find it hard, you know, because you're kind of up there and most actors are like, they're lucky if they're 5'9".
Yes. Yeah. So I have run into problems, you know, some roles I haven't been able to land just because of my height. And
size. How tall are you?
6'6".
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm 6'6", 245, 250 last time I checked. So it's like, you know, when I'm standing next to somebody, if it don't look right, you know, I may not get that role. Or if I do get it, you know, they got to stand on the crate to get the over the shot, to get your close up, you know, over my shoulder. It's hard for them to get it. So, you know, most sets that I've been on, if they're not prepared for it, for my size, it's going to be an issue.
Do you feel typecast because of it?
No. And I don't want to be typecast either. I don't want to take the same kind of roles because I want to be able to show my range and diversity. You know, being the thug, I mean, that's cool, but I don't really want to play that. You know, I want to play something where I'm a teacher or a doctor or something out of the norm from just being your typical neighborhood guy. So have I been typecast yet? I don't feel like it, but I wouldn't even allow it, because if I feel like it's going to put me into that same type of role, I won't even go out and audition.
That's awesome. So you're very particular about what you will and will not audition for.
Yeah. I used to be in the beginning, like, because I was just trying to get in, you know, I would take anything because I just wanted to be in the movie. But now that I've done some things and got some stuff under my belt and getting a little bit of recognition, you have to be a little bit more particular about the roles that you take on, because you don't want to take on something that may not be a good look. And the things that I've worked to try to establish in this industry can come crumbling down with the wrong kind of role. So you really have to sit down and be, I know you know that, you got to really be mindful about what you take on and what you want to do.
I hear Cherry say that a lot too, that she won't take any role. And, I'm used to being around people that just, what you got, you know what I mean? So it's good to hear that, you know, both of y'all consistent with, I ain't just taking anything.
No, it's that they'll give you anything if you take it. And sometimes you got to know your worth. With knowing your worth, and I just asked a young lady this who was on the show earlier, do you feel some kind of responsibility within the roles that you take to other Black men?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I never thought about it in a sense of responsibility to others. But in a sense, yes, because I was offered an audition, and I won't say where it was from, but you know, they wanted me to play homosexual for the audition, and I'm not homophobic. Right, I'm not homophobic at all. I don't have a problem with anybody that, you know, that's what they're into. But I didn't want to do it, and I had to turn it down. And it was a kind of a big project. It was a big name. That's why I'm not going to say it. But I was just kind of like, I thought about it. You know, I did give it some thought. But at the end of the day, I was like, man, nah, because that's the stigma. You know, to get a Black man, and if he looks halfway decent, you know, they either want to throw him in a dress or they want him to play, you know, that kind of role.
Did they know you were 6'6"?
I don't believe so.
No.
I don't believe so. And as an actor, it's acting. So I'm not going to say that I couldn't have pulled it off, but I wouldn't have been comfortable. And if you're not comfortable, then it's going to show, and then you're going to do the role disjustice. So I thought about that along with everything else, and I just decided not to. So I guess that kind of, to answer your question, in a sense, maybe I did think about how it would affect other people.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has their thing. I've played gay a couple times, and I was ecstatic to do it. But the reason why I was ecstatic to do it is, first of all, the gay community has always been very good to me, and they've been very close to my heart since I was a child. Mm-hmm. But to be able to play something other than the nice, sweet best friend next door, dating the nice high school boy, or the you know, the little nerdy offset boy, it was something different for me. And so I was excited about doing that.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that. I couldn't see you in that. So I definitely
have. I got to do a play. I got to do a movie called Behind the Pole, where I was a detective, and I actually had a threesome with two women, which was amazing. You know, I took it as Grace, you over there, I see Courtney over there like, wait, what?
Right, he tried to Google. He's like, well, what's the name of that again?
I got to do one of those Christian plays where I actually dated the pastor's daughter. And it was amazing. The young girl who I had worked with, I was actually not the first choice. And it's because the lady who got the job before me, I won't say she chickened out, but she just decided that once they put in a kiss, it was something that she could not do.
Okay.
And for me, I was like all ecstatic, because when the audience comes in, they're coming in to see the girl from Punky Brewster. You know what I'm saying? They're coming in to see the girl from Family Matters. So when I get on the stage and I kiss this little hottie, there, I'm going to get my, ooh, no. So I was going to make it good.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you got to do that.
Yeah, that's how I looked at it. But I do really feel that there's a responsibility with every job that we take. And we have to walk away, regardless of what anyone else feels about what we did. We have to be proud.
Right. Right. That's the one thing I will say. Any role that I have taken and done, I try to embody it and do my best to bring it to life. Because if you don't, then you will do the role and the character, you know, injustice if you don't. You know, you have to become that person for however long you need to be, and you need to do whatever you need to do to become that person and make it believable. So I feel you on that.
I commend you, though, because a lot of people don't walk away, and then they end up regretful. What is the beautiful girl who played, and I'm a fan of hers, she played Nina Simone.
Zoe
Saldana is now coming out and saying that she wishes that she didn't play Nina Simone. I mean, that's like a big deal.
Yeah.
Really? That's one of my favorite actresses. I like Zoe. She's one of my favorites.
Colombiana.
Do you think, yes. Cherry, would you, I'm glad you brought that up. Cherry, would you do something like that though? Like come out and apologize for a role that, you know, someone casted you to be in and that you did? I think this part of this whole cancel culture that she just felt, I mean, just do this to, you know, CYA. I don't know if she needed to do that. Like,
I don't know her. So I think it depends on how she went home and slept that night. She voiced that she was a fan of Nina Simone's, and that's probably what made her be like, oh my God, I totally want to do this because I love this lady. What a great opportunity. But if she didn't, then went home and was like, you know what? I shouldn't have did that. I don't know, because I've never been put in that position. You know, like if I got to play, I've loved Cicely Tyson my whole life. Okay. She played my mother. If I got to play Cicely Tyson, would I want to do it? Yes. If I got on set and they told me that they wanted to change my skin color in order to play her, that might make me pause, because that would make me come home and be regretful.
Mm-hmm.
And that might make me feel like maybe a brown skin sister should have got that instead of me, like a Terrell Hicks. You know, so it depends on the integrity of the project and what integrity I would bring to it. I probably wouldn't have done it. You trying to change my color and all that kind of stuff so that I can be something else. Yeah, that doesn't make you feel good at night.
Oh,
yeah, that makes sense.
Alfonso, were you ever like worried that they might label you as homophobic? Cause like, oh, this dude, what you think, you too good to play this or whatever? Like, you, I don't know how Hollywood works, but.
Well, I mean, when you start having that kind of conversation and getting into those kind of topics nowadays, you got to really, like walking through a minefield. You got to really watch what you do and what you say and how you say it, because again, you don't want to offend people. You know, again, I know people that are homosexual. I don't have a problem with, or if that's your lifestyle, I don't. That's what you do. That's just not what I do. Do I worry about what people say in this day and age? You can't, because if you worry about it, or if you let it affect you, you will never be able to be comfortable in your own skin, because people are going to always have something to say. It's going to always be an issue. I mean, no matter what you do, I mean, I could be dressed up as Santa Claus and buy the whole neighborhood Christmas gifts. Somebody's going to have an issue with that. Somebody's going to find a negative in that. So it's like, you just have to be you and be comfortable in your own skin. And I know what we do, and Cherry, I know you understand that people are going to critique you on a whole different level, and you're gonna always constantly be under a microscope. So if I was to worry about what people thought or what they said, I would lose my mind. You know, if I had hair, I would lose it, because it's just, you know, it's just too many opinions in this world. So I mean, you hear it, or I might read it, but at the end of the day, man, I don't care. You know, I'm comfortable with and who I am as a black man, and I'm okay with it.
Absolutely. They come at me hard daily on social media. And I don't.
The social media world is a, you know, we didn't grow up in this social media, man. So if it wasn't for what I'm trying to do, I wouldn't probably have it. But, you know, it's a gift and a curse at the same time.
Yeah.
How do you feel about, like, you know, social media, and the bigger you get, the more followers you get, the more say everybody thinks that they have in your life?
Again, it's a gift and it's a curse because, you know, for me, you know, I grind and I work so hard trying to do so many different things and be in these projects. And I know what it's like. And, you know, to be away from your family, or you go on all day, all night, you know, you on set longer than you at home. You know, you go home just to get a few hours of sleep and then come right back, depending on the role in the project. So, yeah. You know, I want to be able to do what I do and do it on a high level and entertain people. And I do understand that the bigger you get, the more people are looking at you, and it's happening now. And it can be irritating, but I'm kind of a recluse anyway. Like my social media, like my Instagram especially, I don't have everything in my Instagram is just all business related, all acting and modeling. That's really it, nothing personal. And I try to separate it. In my Facebook, I'm getting ready to try to do the same thing to keep it separated, because you have to. You know, I don't want people to think that I'm stuck up or standoffish, or that I can't be accessible. But, you know, when people come at me now, you know, especially if I don't know them, I'm like, where are you, you know, what really is it that you want? Like, are you really a fan, or you want something, or you trying to get me to get you a role? Like, what are you, it's in the back of my mind, it's always, what is the ulterior motive? And I don't want to be like that, but you kind of got to be like that.
Gotta
you
be
know, always on the defense, you know, because you just never know. And I'm not even big like that. I'm not saying it, but, you know, I do have a base of fans, I think, that you just never know where people are coming from sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with that. And I really don't mess with the social media like that on the personal side either. So I totally understand where you're coming from.
But you get to read the creepers that write me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how she does it, man. I mean, wow. Yeah, I don't know how she does it.
Are you a father?
Am I what?
A father.
Yes, yes. I have a 12-year-old. She's going on 25, seem like. But no, I have a 12-year-old daughter. That's my heart right there.
What kind of conversations are you having with her this year? This is a hard year for little brown babies.
Man, listen. Okay. She's 12. She's kind of tall. She's going to be tall. She's already tall for her age. She's very pretty, long hair. And, you know, I just tell her that I just keep it as real with her as possible, because she hear it anyway. I just say, listen, you know, it's okay if you want to like boys and this and that, but, you know, always be respectful of yourself. You know, I try to show her what real love is first. So when she finally, you know, get off into want a date and you know, marry down the line, long time down the line, she know what she to expect, because I'm trying to set the example for her now. You know, as far as her being, you know, a black woman, or will be a black woman as she gets older, I just let her know that, you know, times are changing for women. There are a lot more women are in power and CEOs than it was 20 or 30 years ago, but you're going to always have to work 10 times harder to get where you want to get. And you want to be able to do that on your own. That's why I tell her to, you know, finish school. I know college ain't for everybody, but if you at least go and get that experience to know if it's for you or not, and just work hard and don't let nobody tell you what you can't do if you feel like you can do it. You know, and she's really a daddy's girl. You know, she tried to act like she ain't listening, but she hear me when I talk to her.
Yes, and she might bring it back up several years from now.
Yeah. 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 So that's my role, dog. Anywhere I can take her, she usually be with me.
That's really sweet.
Knowing that you're a father, is that one of the reasons why you didn't want to take that role too?
No, because at the end of the day, I'm still an adult, still a man. Are you referring to the deceitful passions or our other role?
No,
the one you turned down.
The other role, yeah. Because she know me as I'm a manly man, but she knows I'm a great actor, But for her to see me in that light, she wouldn't judge because she knows and she understands. But I wouldn't want her to see me. I just wouldn't.
That makes sense. So speaking of being a dad, what's going on with school? Are you worried? Are you social distancing? Are we learning on the internet? Or is your baby going in that door?
I don't want her to go in the door. We just had a meeting a couple of days ago, and I voted for it to be virtual learning because that's pretty much what they've been doing since the pandemic hit us in March. We can practice social distance as adults, and it's tough. It's very hard. Yeah. You think kids don't do social distancing? No. Once they get in there, all the masks is coming off, all the protective, none of that is going to matter to them because kids already think they're invincible anyway. They're not going to practice social distance. I don't care, in my opinion, how much they try to enforce it at the schools. I just don't think it's going to happen. You know, she'll be in the eighth grade next year, so she's still in middle school, so that's the age range of, I believe, 11 to 13. I just don't see them being able to social distance. And I don't want my baby to come home and be sick. And, you know, you can't watch them 24/7. So, you know, I voted for them to go just online, virtual. Because that's the way that the schooling is going anyway. Everything is online. You know, send me the website, send me the link. And, you know, they do a homework off their cell phones. Whereas in our days, we didn't even have cell phones.
So, right.
You know, they learning a whole other different style of stuff than what we grew up with. So, nah.
And it's so crazy.
She got laptop and all that.
So it's so crazy that. For me. When I first started doing the show with Cherry, she was teaching me, you know, she's been teaching me about manifestation, but she's been telling me about homeschooling from the beginning when we first started doing the show. That was a couple of our first shows was about this. And I would have never thought a year and a half later, like, that's what I'm doing now. Like, you know, not as much as life, but the homeschooling, like, it's like essential. You know, I'm with you. I don't want my kids in there.
Mm-mm. Yeah, so if I can have my way until I know that they got this COVID situation under control, hopefully it's soon, but until I feel comfortable as her father sending her to school, she'd be right at the kitchen table on the desktop.
Yep. So, smart.
She wants to go back to school too, but she want to go so she can socialize.
Exactly.
I mean, be in school too, but she want to be with her friends and I don't know. You stay home.
Yep.
Of course. All kids are going to want to be a you know, I told people and people are like, oh, kids are smart. Kids, listen, kids have more common sense than adults. True. But by the first recess in kindergarten, they're going to be trading masks.
Yeah.
I give you my Batman for your Spider-Man.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. So and then they want a horse play and then what you going to do with gym class? Or are they just going to cut gym out? Like, I don't really know how they're going to even teach the curriculum or what it's going to be about. So I just send me what you got to have or send it on the computer and I'll feel a whole lot safer.
And we'll get it done. Some kids are actually being put in a class. They're not allowed out for recess. They're not allowed out for lunch. They are at their desks the whole time. And they're not allowed
little
to get
kids,
up.
That's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not fair, and I don't think it's going to work. Because kids that age, when they're young, they need a reset. You know, they need that to get that out of their system. And if you're keeping kids cooped up at their desk the whole time, some kids will just shut down. And once they shut down, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
I homeschool, and my daughter will tell you, and we homeschool in her room. Her desk is in her room, or she's at the kitchen table. She will tell you after about 45 minutes, I need a break.
Yes.
And I let her take it. She needs a break. Mm-hmm. Let her get up a wiggle. Sometimes we do, like, she's six. So you do three questions, stand up, do 10 jumping jacks, and then sit back down. And we make it a game.
Mm-hmm.
So that she doesn't lose interest.
Yeah, but if you got them cooped up at that desk, that's a recipe for disaster.
It's just not fun. So what about, have you had a conversation? This is a hard one, but unfortunately, as Black parents, we have to. Have you had a conversation with your daughter about the police and her relationship with law enforcement?
You know, I have actually. I told her that, you know, because I got some friends that are police officers. So, I have to tell her, like, listen, every police officer is not bad. You know, but with what they have access to with the internet, these cell phones, you know, like I said, we didn't have that. It's always been a thing that's been going on since the Rodney King days back in the early 90s, but we didn't have a platform to see it. Yeah. Now, the kids see it and they become desensitized to it to a certain degree. But I tell her, I say, listen, you know, every cop is not a bad cop. You know, you don't have to be fearful when you see the police because they are here to serve and protect. And, you know, when you get older, if you get pulled over, don't be disrespectful. Don't talk smart to them. Just give them what they ask for. Try to be as polite as you can be and just keep it moving. Because at the end of the day, you know, you may have to swallow your pride to make it. You know, even as a woman, you know, so. I've talked to her and told her, you know, she's aware.
Yeah, I've had the same conversation with my daughter, man. My daughter's 10. And, I told her basically the same thing. But I got a little bit more graphic. And I showed her some things that they do. And I just told her, just like you, you know, keep your mouth shut and then say whatever you got to say and do whatever you got to do to get out of the situation unharmed. Exactly. And then, you know, we can have
it from there.
Yes.
Exactly.
They do nothing for you if you're gone. You know, so.
Nothing.
It's such a hard conversation to have. I mean, I've had it with my six-year-old already because I don't know if you guys saw the other day, they pulled over that family. Yes. Over
and they had her on the ground. Yeah, I saw that. That was terrible. I couldn't understand what were they trying to do.
But they said that's standard. That's standard, you know, policy, you know, and that's it's like
standard bullshit.
And
but as you know, as a woman, I think I could take it a little bit more calm and try to explain to my baby what's going on and how my baby needs to be calm and stuff like that. As fathers, you guys have that natural protection thing. Have you thought about being put in that position where you would totally have to humble yourself just to make sure that you and your baby gets home safe after something like that might happen?
Yeah, I actually have. This was some years back. I had got pulled over. And I don't know. I think they were undercover narcs. They mistaked me for somebody else. And my kid was, she was very young. She was still in the car seat. She had to have been about one, maybe two tops. I was driving up the street, and the next thing I know, it was a van. They cut me off, pulled in front of me, jumped out with their guns out. It was like five or six of them, and like one female, and had their guns drawn, screaming at me, telling me to keep my hands up and get out of the car. And I didn't know what was going on. Like, I didn't know what was going on. And I'm like, I got my daughter in the back. She's screaming, crying. She don't know what's going on. And I'm like, I'm telling them, like, what did I do? What did I do? And then I heard one of the guys, he pulled, well, I guess he was the lead officer. He pulled him to the side and said, that's not him. He got the wrong car. And they looked back at me and was like, sorry for the inconvenience. Have a good day. He got back in their van and pulled off.
No.
And I just was like, I just was in awe. Like, but while all of that was going on, I'm like, what did I do? Why are you guys pulling me over? Like, I didn't do anything. Like, what is this even about? And I guess once I got to, you know, going back and forth with them, you know, letting them know that, hey, this is, I'm not whoever you think I am. And then they realized, like, no, this is not him. They got in their van, they stormed, you know, skirted down the street. And I just.
But that's not good enough. Nope. That's not good enough. Because now we have a child who's in the back who is terrified anytime they see a cop car. They're literally traumatizing generations of Black people. And the sorry you got the wrong car is not okay. What can we do to change that or to make them change that for the next generation? Did you call the station? Did you complain?
No, I didn't because I didn't know where they were from. They were in an unmarked van. You know, I didn't see their badges until they got out because some of them had them around their neck. Some of them was wearing, you know, on their waist. And man, all I saw was guns. And at that point, I just feared for my daughter, for my life and my daughter life. Because I didn't know if they was going to shoot or shoot in the car or not know she was in the back seat in the car seat. Like, that could have just went left on so many different accords, man. So I just wanted them to go ahead and get away from me and let me take my daughter and go about my business. So that's not good enough. But at that time, I was so scared, and I just was happy the day was gone. That was good enough for me. But, you know, with all the things here that's going on in this world, man, I think that they're starting to listen to us a little bit now. But I just pray for change and equality across the board, man, and hope that, you know, we can be finally treated as equal and as human beings. Because I, as right now, I feel like we are an endangered species and we've been hunted.
Yes. And unfortunately, it's not isolated incidents. Like 9 out of 10 Black people that you speak to have had not nice incidents with the police, and they say, sorry, and let you go. And you're just supposed to be happy that you're alive. That's not okay.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. So hopefully, man, with all that's going on in the world with the George Floyd and the Breonna Taylors and just everything with the racism, man, I hope it stops. I pray that it stops because, you know, I got to be here to protect my kid and be here for my family. And, you know, it's sad that we got to live that way, but it's just the way it is. Hopefully things will change.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think it will, because systematically, that's the standard. You know, mm-hmm. Me and Cherry did an interview with someone earlier, and I'm a union guy, and I know police officers have the strongest union there is, and all this stuff that they're doing, that's in their rule book. And, you know, I think the guy that killed George Floyd is gonna get off. Next year, he'll be free. And definitely all the other officers will be free if Chauvin ain't, but definitely all the other officers. I mean, and the reason why is because, according to Minnesota, that officer did everything according to standard. So,
I don't know where it's standard to have your knee on a man's neck for 8 minutes. I don't know nowhere in the world where that's standard, but, you know. Like you say, they back each other up and they support everything that happens. It seems like it's okay, and it's not okay.
No.
And I think for the first time in a long time, you know, we fighting back. And I feel like we're being heard to a degree, so we're going to see what really happens. You know?
Yeah. I'm glad. I'm just not as optimistic as everybody else, because I should be, but I'm a grump, I guess.
No, I don't think you're a grump. I think you know history, and unfortunately history seems to repeat itself. But what I will say is that we've always had white allies, right? Mm-hmm. But we have more now than we ever have before. And I think that white people have finally figured out that they are the answer to correcting racism, that we cannot correct it, because if we could, it would have been corrected a long time ago. Yes. So I have faith that we have white allies who will now begin to check each other. And I think that's how it'll change. And we have white families who are having the same conversations behind closed doors that we have to have as Black parents with our children. Mm-hmm. They're now having those conversations with their white children that they never felt like they had to have before. And I think that's what will change. I'm praying, I'm manifesting that's what will change.
They're starting to hold each other accountable, and I think that's two steps in the right direction. You know, holding each other accountable for the actions and things that are taking place.
But there are also those white families that are having a conversation with their kids. You see those guys protesting? Those guys are thugs. They are bad citizens, and they're wasting our tax money, dog. We had to clean this shit up. I mean, you got those people too. So hopefully.
Hoping though is those little kids. I mean, it won't hit all of them, but we're seeing it on social media. We're seeing some of those little kids say, "Mom, Dad, you're wrong."
Yeah.
I've been seeing that.
That's good.
You're wrong. So regardless of what their parents are feeding them, their own conscience is kicking in, and they know it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I think before, even though some of the children knew that mommy and daddy were wrong, mommy and daddy is how they ate, they didn't say anything.
Yeah.
We got some rebels coming up now who don't mind saying, you know, I don't care if I get in trouble, I don't care if I get a spanking, but you're ridiculous and I'm disgusted by your views.
Mm-hmm. That's because a lot of kids have been home and now they get to see it for themselves.
Yes.
Right. Hey,
Alfonso, let me ask you a question because Cherry made me think about it. So when I first met Cherry, I interviewed her and I asked her what role does she want to play. And I forget exactly what it was, but she said a dark role. I forget exactly what it was. But do you see, is there a role, I know we touched on that already. What kind of role would you like to play that might be outside the box, per se, that you...
Well, one, I want to do a horror movie where I'm the only black guy like it usually be, but I actually want to survive. Oh. I actually had landed a role like that where I was the only black guy and I was going to live. About 3 or 4 different times, you thought I was going to die and I lived, but we ended up, it didn't happen. I was so hurt. I wanted to do that. But outside of that, I want to do, I like to play crazy. I like to play kind of like the perfect guy, fatal affair kind of role. I like to play stuff like that because it's fun.
He want to kill.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, if it calls for it, but I want to play that kind of crazy because that's so far from my actual personality for me to do it and to be believable because I did a play like that. And a lot of people that knew me that saw the play were like, bro, like, you killed that. Like, because I'm so not like that. I'm cool, I'm chill, I'm laid back, but I would love to do a role where, you know, I come in as the charming guy in the beginning, and as it plays on, you start to peel back different layers, and it's like, hold on, this guy. And then at the end of it, it's like, okay, this dude is just flat out fucking crazy. Like, he's nuts. I would love to play a role like that. I would love it.
Scary. I love it. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Is there anything else you want the audience to know?
Yeah, man. Check me out on Amazon Prime. Check me out on Tubi TV, Deceitful Passions. Also, The Bad Girls. That's BAG. Like, go get your bag. The Bad Girls is out on Tubi and Amazon Prime, and it's currently the most popular movie on Tubi, I think last time I checked, which was yesterday. So yeah, so those movies are doing extremely well right now. So if y'all ain't got nothing to do, check them out. Again, if you do watch them, don't watch them with the babies. Watch them with the spouse or somebody else that's an adult, because it's not kid friendly.
You know, let me ask both of you guys one last question. What I'm noticing, especially now, and I think COVID has, because people are going to be forced to stay home, and it's not going to be as much. I don't know if the theater business is going to survive or is it going to come back or whatnot, but streaming, like, that is, like, at first it was like, you know, like a lot of the but now streaming is like really the go-to now. How do you both of you all feel about, you know, streaming movies now or streaming TV as a new outlet?
I love it because I don't really, everything I do is you know, Netflix or some type of streaming anyway. I don't even really watch regular TV. And for me, you know, coming from the area that's here, like where we come from, like those kind of shows like Family Matters or Good Times or shows that we grew up with don't really exist anymore. You know, everything is reality and streaming. So for me, getting into this game of being an actor is perfect because, you know, I'm not at the level where I haven't been in a movie on a silver screen that's playing across the world. Yeah. You know, the silver screen movies I've been in are playing in my city. So everybody in my city seeing it, but the world didn't see it. So for me to be able to get on a platform like Amazon Prime or Tubi where the world can see it, for me as an actor, that's huge. I'll take that because that's what it is. Like, it's like the world is dominated now by the internet. But we didn't grow up like that. But if you don't have the internet, you can't survive nowadays. It's like, it's kind of becoming that way with streaming. Like, if you don't have a streaming, it's like, what are you doing? So for me, it's perfect.
For me, I'm excited to see where it's going to go. I'm excited that streaming platforms are actually starting to give out network contracts. For me, that's a big deal because when they started, there was really not a lot of money in streaming for actors.
Can you explain that? What you mean by that?
What I mean by that is because streaming was new, they didn't have the budgets that maybe a network would have.
Okay.
But now that we actually have networks like Peacock, is run by, is a subsidiary of Universal and NBC. So we have a network backing our streaming service that Punky is coming out on. We have a regular, a nice paycheck. But when streaming started, they didn't really have that. It was like, oh, we're trying something new. We got a couple $100s. Are you with it? For me, I wasn't with it. But, you know, so I'm excited to see where it's going to go 5 to 10 years from now. Because it'll be just like working for a network TV.
Look like no matter what. Well, I'm happy for both of you all.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm happy for you too, Courtney. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I've been a huge fan of you since I was a kid, or we was a kid. Like, I've been watching you since Punky Brewster today. So to be right here and actually be talking, and you know, we're kind of doing the same thing now, it's amazing. It's awesome.
Thank you. Well, I'm just gonna put it out there that one day I'm gonna get to work with that dimple man right there.
Hey,
that'd be awesome.
I'm proud of you.
Wait a minute, thank this you. Guy is 6'6". Cherry, I don't know if you could pull that role off, being working with a guy that's 6'6".
I am 5'7". They could put me on an Apple box.
Yeah. Put you some heels. You work with some heels, you'd be about good 5'11".
Almost 6 feet, and then you put my little 6 foot self on the Apple box. I'm good.
I'm joking.
All right, we're good to go.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Be safe out there.
I will. Yeah. I will. Y'all be safe too. Y'all be safe too.
Absolutely. I'm in the house. I ain't going nowhere.
I try not to if I don't have to. Oh, yeah, I get it.
I'll be out and about.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Brought to you by Less Is More Events. Get Lime. Lime. Lime.
Shop all things Cherry Johnson. TheRealCherry.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.